Hello and welcome to Press TV's debate. I'm Marzia Hashemi. Thanks so much for being with us. Well, many experts said it would not last a year, this regarding the revolution in 1979 in Iran. And now, almost 40 years later, critics continue to say that it won't last and have consistently tried their best to make sure that the Islamic Republic is overthrown. Now, the latest in a long line of strategic efforts to overthrow the government in Tehran is a U.S.-created Iran Action Group. But Iran says the United States' dream of subjugating the Iranian nation through pressure will never materialize.
We'll also take some questions.
The U.S. Secretary of State announcing the formation of a special task force as part of Washington's agenda to maximize economic and political pressure on Iran.
Today, I'm happy to announce the creation of the Iran Action Group. The Iran Action Group will be responsible for directing, reviewing, and coordinating all aspects of the State Department's Iran-related activity. And it will report directly to me.
Pompeo named Brian Hook as head of the group. Hook issued a warning to the U.S. allies regarding Iran.
The United States certainly hopes for full compliance by all nations in terms of not risking the threat of U.S. secondary sanctions.
Pompeo's announcement falls on the 65th anniversary of the CIA-led coup against Iran's democratically elected Prime Minister Mohammad Mossadegh. The putsch was aimed at reinstating and strengthening Iran's Western-backed Shah in 1953. Washington benefited from ousting Mossadegh and usurped a significant share of Iran's oil wealth following the notorious coup. Some political analysts wonder if the formation of the IAG is conveying a message to Tehran.
Because we all know that there's a political war going on against Iran and there is an economic war going on. And of course, the third type of warfare may be military action, God forbid.
The developments come following Washington's withdrawal from the 2015 nuclear agreement in May. The U.S. has pledged to increase economic pressure on Iran to force it to negotiate a new deal. The Islamic Republic has rejected any new talks with the White House, saying the U.S. unilateral withdrawal from the nuclear deal is a proof that it is not trustworthy. In 2006, the U.S. and Israel announced plans to redraw the map of the Middle East. The goal would be achieved through partitioning regional nations into statelets. Former U.S. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice introduced the notion of the so-called New Middle East during her visit to Tel Aviv. Under the project, Lebanon, Syria, and Iraq would be the pressure points to unleash what Rice described as constructive chaos in the region. 12 years on, the U.S. seems to have plunged into what many see as a quagmire in the Middle East. That same pattern could also apply to Washington's Iran Action Group amid its growing trade wars and unilateralism that have made the U.S. more isolated than ever.
I'd like to welcome my guests to the program out of New York, journalist and political commentator Maxine Dover, and out of London, editor-in-chief of theduran.com, Alexander Mercouris. Thank you both for being with us. Starting us off now in New York, and Maxine, well, in your opinion, what exactly is the Iran Action Group and why was it created?
Good evening. Well, according to the statements, not in my opinion, but according to the statements, the group was created to coordinate American dealings with Iran and with those countries with which America has dealings and with which have dealings with Iran. It's a coordinating committee headed on its day-to-day operation by a man who is a policy planner, Mr. Hook.
Okay, so coordinating what exactly with Iran to do what in your perspective? Maxine, staying with you.
Well, I think the committee is going to look at the totality of sanctions, at the totality of the both international response to sanctions and of the effect each aspect of the sanctions that the United States plans to impose on Iran's economy and on Iran's approach to renegotiating the deal.
Okay. Well, Alexander, what do you think about the timing of this Iran action group? While Iran is marking the 65th anniversary of Washington's coup against Tehran, now, this group is created. Any hidden messages there?
Well, I think it is a most ominous development that they've created this group, and I'm glad that you identified the 65th anniversary of the Mossadegh, the coup against Mossadegh in 1953, because, of course, that was an early example of the United States engineering regime change. It did it in Iran. It created a very brutal dictatorship of Reza Pahlavi, which lasted for a long time, which was extremely brutal, and it provoked a very strong reaction against it. 25 years, a very strong reaction in the end in Iran, and set Iran on its present path, which is an independent path. And I am confident personally that the Iranian people, having now gone on that path, will hold to it. But it is clearly a policy that the United States seems to be reverting to. Now, what this group is, I have no doubt about it, it is a headquarters within the State Department. It's going to bring together all the various strands of the United States government in order to try to mobilize all the resources of the United States to try to achieve regime change in Iran. Now, I say that because if you look at the demands of Iran that the United States is making, both in a statement that the White House published in May of this year, and in one that Mike Pompeo of the State Department announced shortly later, it is impossible to see how Iran could ever comply with them and remain an independent country. Given that this is so, given that the United States cannot seriously expect Iran to comply with these demands, it seems to me that the only logical outcome of this is regime change, and we see the United States now setting up what I call a headquarters in order to achieve that.
Well, Maxine, we've seen several top American officials say that Iran must not make it to its 40-year anniversary of the revolution. Why do you think Washington is so sensitive about the subject, and do you see the Iran Action Group's goal trying to make sure that the Iranian people do not celebrate another victory anniversary?
Well, there's been a statement from the State Department that the aim of this group is not regime change, but rather a renegotiation and compliance with what the United States would like to see happen, which is an end to the ballistic missile testing, which is less goading of the multiple powers in the Middle East, such as Hamas or Hezbollah, and not supplying weapons. There's been a statement that is either been released or leaked, not quite sure which would be the proper word, but a statement that says that Putin and Trump agreed that Iranian forces would not remain in Syria. There are multiple dominoes in this row, and but I think the bottom line statement has to be remembered that the State Department has said that this is not an effort to effect regime change, but rather to change the status of certain aspects of the existing regime.
Okay, what about that, Alexander? Do you think the goal of this group and so many of the actions that we've seen coming out of Washington against Tehran since 1979, do you think that the ultimate goal is actually to overthrow the government of the Islamic Republic?
I think it is. I don't think it's just to overthrow the government of the Islamic Republic. I think it is to overthrow the Islamic Republic. And if we look at what the President of the United States, Mr. Trump himself, said back in October 2017, he actually made a statement. He said, if the United States had not agreed the JCPOA, there would have been an insurrection in Iran which would have brought the Islamic Republic crashing down. I mean, he said that. And, you know, if we come back to the demands the United States is making of Iran. The United States, of course, denies formally that it is seeking regime change. But what it is demanding are some things which Iran cannot do. It cannot, the United States says that Iran should stop supporting terrorist groups and includes Al-Qaeda amongst them. Al-Qaeda is not supported by Iran. Iran is the enemy of Al-Qaeda, which is a sectarian, Salafist, extremely anti-Iranian organization. The United States says that Iran should give up the objective, the publicly declared objective of destroying Israel. Iran has never declared such an objective. When one puts all these things together, when one sees the demands the United States is making of Iran, when one looks at the extent of the sanctions that the United States is proposing to impose on Iran, when one sees the threats the United States is making against other countries to get them to force them to comply with the sanctions, which, to be clear, are unilateral sanctions and therefore arguably illegal under international law, it is impossible for me to see how one could put all this together and say that the objective is not regime change. I have no doubt about it.
Well, Maxine, according to international law, the Charter of the United Nations, it is actually illegal for one nation to try to overthrow another. Would you say that what the United States is doing is an attempt to overthrow the government of the Islamic Republic?
Well, I think there's a bit of a redefinition of what death to Israel or death to the United States means when written on ballistic missiles. Iran has said that one of its aims is the overthrow of Israel. That is not an Islamic proposition, according to what Zarif has said in the recent hours, not even in the recent days. But the idea that there have been no threats is a fantasy. Of course there have been threats. There have been threats by the proxy organizations that Iran is supporting as well. Hezbollah and Hamas both want to see the destruction of Israel, and Iran is supporting that. That's part of what the United States wants to see pulled back. By pulling back its support of terrorist organizations and the expenditures on this kind of hateful military action,
Maxine, you're not answering the question.
The economy of Iran would benefit, and the people would benefit.
I have asked. The question that I have asked is that it is illegal, according to international law, according to the United Nations, to try to overthrow another sovereign nation. Do you think that the United States is actually trying to overthrow Iran, because we have a list of events that have taken place since 1979 that would say definitely
it is? Well, I have to go, but to respond to directly to your question, the State Department has said that the aim of this action committee is not the overthrow of the government, but rather change in policies. So I think that there is no threat to break that UN regulation.
Since you're saying that it's not, when we look at National Security
not overthrowing
Advisor,
any government.
U.S. National Security Advisor John Bolton, when talking to the terrorist organization, anti-Iran organization, MKO, he said that the next meeting we want to hold in Tehran, referring, of course, to next year, prior to the 40th anniversary of the revolution. What do you think that means when he's addressing this anti-government organization in Paris and saying next year Tehran? What do you think that means, Maxine?
John Bolton, who I know, is want to play to a very, very right-wing conservative audience. John Bolton delivers a far-right message. It need not be the message of the American government entirely. John Bolton was speaking to an audience that he, shall we say, might have been seeking to please.
What do you make of that remark, Alexander?
Well, the problem with that is, of course, that what John Bolton is saying corresponds with what the United States government is doing. And I come back to what I said. Look at the totality of what the United States is doing towards Iran. We are hearing quite openly stated suggestions that the United States is going to strangle Iran economically. We're seeing military threats against Iran. And can I say, when we talk about military threats and policies, yes, people say all sorts of things. People go in Iran and say death to Israel, death to the United States. They are not the same as a policy of a government. And that is what we're looking at for the United States now. As of this moment in time, the threat is not by Iran, it is against it, and it is not coming from Iran, it is coming primarily and overwhelmingly from the United States. Before the United States invaded Iraq in 2003, I can very well remember American officials saying that it was not a regime change in Iraq that was the objective there, it was to dismantle the weapons of mass destruction that Saddam Hussein was supposed to seek. It became very clear that it was regime change which was the agenda. And I'm afraid when we hear American officials today say that regime change is not their agenda in Iran, I am afraid, looking at what they're doing and looking at the history, I don't believe them.
Well, what about that, Maxine? I mean, when we talk about, when we look at sanctions that the United States have imposed on Iran, it's one thing for the United States to impose its own sanctions against Iran, although there will be many that says in general sanction regime is problematic. But it's something else to basically even threaten even its closest allies that they don't have the right to deal with Iran. What type of attitude is that for Washington to take? And doesn't, at the end of the day, doesn't it discredit itself?
I think that you are not far from the target. The purpose of this committee, the stated purpose, is to coordinate the American sanctions and is to effectively be a watchdog on the maintenance of sanctions, the secondary sanctions, I think is the term being used. And that is a political economic act, no question. But the idea that it is regime change oriented has specifically been said not to be the case. That the statement was that regime change is not the eventual goal. The fact is that there is room for both governments to negotiate. One is standing at one edge and the other at the other edge, and negotiation means sitting down with those who are your enemies. You don't negotiate with your friends, you negotiate with your adversary. And there is room to sit down and negotiate.
Well, don't you think there
Again,
has
I think
to be,
one of the main
Maxine,
targets
sorry
of this
to interrupt you with what you
would
said.
Be to eliminate
sorry to
the
interrupt
ballistic
you said.
Missiles.
You talked about negotiations, but doesn't there have to be some level of basic respect? When Iran has just come out of the JCPOA after negotiating 4 years, and then, of course, with U.S. President Donald Trump, who unilaterally decides, no, we don't want this deal, we'll sit down with you again. When we have entities not respecting international law, is it realistic to actually expect Iran then to sit down with such an entity to try to negotiate?
We have a very different president in the White House in this administration. The Obama administration created a deal, and part of the approach of the Trump administration is to break the legacy of the Obama administration in many ways, whether it's in healthcare or whether it's in the JCPOA. This is a recognized fact of the Trump administration's approach. I think the idea that the American democracy is a strong democracy must be acknowledged, and that what is still there is a respect for sovereignty,
What is this based on, Maxine? What
the Senate
what is,
and the Congress are in
with
the
what
end.
What you are saying, what is it based on? You're saying that the United States is a strong democracy. On the one hand, we see one president coming in, basically making null and void what another president has. It sounds more like a dictatorship than a democracy, because if it's something that has been agreed on unilaterally, internationally, but then whoever comes to the White House can basically make it null and void. So why should any country, not just Iran, why should any country actually choose to negotiate with an entity that is so unstable?
I think one of the big problems with the deal with the JCPOA was that it was not set through Congress. It was done rather with an executive order and was not a treaty as such. A treaty has to be approved by Congress.
Okay.
And that perhaps should have been the differential.
All right, let me get Alexander. Sorry to interrupt you, I'm running out of time. Let me get Alexander in on this. I mean, Maxine said that it should have gone through Congress. So what vote is it of Tehran? And what does it have to do? I mean, we have those that are saying today that if Mossadegh was alive, that he would actually be negotiating with the United States, but the leader of the revolution, Ayatollah Khamenei, has said that there cannot be negotiations with the U.S., especially this current presidency, because the current administration cannot keep its word. Alexander, your thoughts?
Well, I mean, to take your first question, it had nothing to do with Iran, that the Obama administration didn't put the JCPOA to the Senate. And I mean, that is an entirely internal problem. And of course, making relations between countries like the United States and Iran hostage in that way to internal U.S. developments is going to make it incredibly difficult, for even with the best will in the world, for people to forge relations with the United States. Now, in this case, I'm afraid it goes beyond that, because what we are looking at, however you spin it, is a straightforward case of bad faith. The United States came to an agreement. That agreement was agreed by the entire international community. Iran acted in accordance with that agreement. The United States broke it. The United States now raises all sorts of other issues which it wants to discuss with Iran. And it makes threats against Iran if it doesn't agree to discuss those issues.
Okay, 10 seconds, Alexander.
It makes threats to its allies.
All right, and on that note, sorry to interrupt you, but we're out of time. Appreciate both of you being with us. Maxine Dover, journalist and political commentator out of New York. Alexander Mercuris, editor-in-chief of Duran.com out of London. And as always, viewers, we appreciate you being with us on another debate. I'm Marzia Hashimi. See you next time.